Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
Movies have taught us anything. They say one of the safest places to house anything is Fort Knox. Impossible to break into, impossible to break out of. They're always going on about this. You know, it's a great little capsule. Yeah, capsule for gold, for the gold deposits and that sort of stuff as well. If you want like a time capsule of the 1950s, maybe you go back to your grandparents' house. Usually that's how that sort of thing works out. But now they're talking about something like Fort Knox, so to speak, when it comes to our music. The iconic music from history, to preserve it just in case, you know, things really go bad, like Independence Day or something like that.
So instead of having gold bars, gold records.
Gold records in there as well.
Yeah. Wow, so okay.
They're talking about constructing somewhat of a doomsday vault. It's already actually underway at the moment. It's between basically North Pole and Norway in a secret location somewhere around there to house some of the world's most important, you know, recordings of the history of time.
So it's kind of like how they have those seed vaults where they keep like a seed from every different plant in case something goes drastically wrong. This is the same as that.
Should we be worried though when we hear stuff like that? It's like, do you know something we don't? Oh no, we're just building it just in case something bad might happen in the next 5 to 10 years.
How are they storing all this music, by the way? Is it just like you're like this massive facility, concrete bunker? There's all these massive sort of safe doors, like, you know, heaps of locks. You open it up and it's just like someone's got their mobile on there. It's like loaded up.
Think of like Get Smart, something like, I'm talking about Below the Ice. This is pretty futuristic. Okay. A digital storage location, obviously, unknown, so the public doesn't know where it is. They're talking about anything ranging from bands like these guys, the Beatles. It's obviously the, you know, historic music. The Beatles are going to be there.
My dad would vote to put the Beatles in there for sure. He's a mad Beatles fan.
Yeah. And even Australian indigenous music.
Cool.
Maybe it's something like Yothi Yindi could be in there. Possibly.
Why not?
So it doesn't get lost forever. So obviously,
I mean, who's choosing this music though?
Those are
a couple of strong choices. But I mean, there's some music that, yes, you should put into a vault. And then there's other music like this that should be fired into the sun.
Yes. Oh, yes.
You know what I mean? It's like,
there's a difference.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Music is a very subjective thing. There's some stuff that I listen to that I know people would not want in that vault.
All we know about the vault is an abandoned coal mine, and basically it can withstand anything.
Well,
that's because they want to bury it deep so no one would ever dare go down there. It can withstand, you know, nuclear and blast power outages, all that sort of stuff, because it keeps below freezing temperatures and things like that to make sure things don't overheat. So it sounds like pretty high tech as well in there. But then you have the question of, you know, how do you sort of work out what music gets stored in there.
Yeah, who's making this choice?
Yeah, that's the thing that's going to be a bit of a problem. Like, who's going to do that? Who's going to decide what kind of music gets in there? That's the big thing. Alira is the name of the company, and they've called on the International Music Council to create a global committee to decide what gets the tick and what gets the flick.
Okay, fair enough.
So the most precious recordings is the stuff they're looking after, and actually the public get a chance to vote on some of the thoughts as well, I suppose.
I would hope so.
Which is good as well. So this
hopefully it works out better than Eurovision, though, because some of the music that gets voted up for that contest, you're like, really?
So it's a good way to preserve all this music as well and give people online access to listen to it as well, because obviously the location's been kept pretty secret because, you know, people be itching to actually turn up there in person, wouldn't they, to try and, you know, these Instagrammers and things to try and break in there and see exactly what's in there. But, you know, they've actually had to employ a similar tactic of voting when it comes to playing music to be on the outside. You know, like you go to shopping malls and they play that horrible music,
so
no one
will
want to go
music
near the place whatsoever.
Yeah.
It didn't take too much voting, though. They all unanimously voted that this would be the tune they'd play outside of the vault. No one's going to want to go near there whatsoever.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.
And we want to know about the people on TV that drive you crazy.
Ooh,
in a good way.
The good stuff.
We heard the news yesterday that Dieter Brummer, who played Shane Parrish for 4 years, I think it was, on Home and Away back in the early 90s, passed away in Sydney, age of 45, so young.
Yeah.
But back in the day, man, like, I was just, I think, finishing high school when he was a huge thing, and it was him and Angel, like Shane and Angel
on the
show.
Oh, that was the romance, yeah.
Oh, that was massive.
Cool.
And the girls used to crush hard on Dieter Brummer as Shane Parrish.
I'm looking for Nick Parrish. Is he around?
You were the one who bumped into me in the diner, weren't you?
Yeah, that's right. I thought I'd seen you somewhere. You know, you ought to watch where you're going, Bob.
Yeah, that's him giving it to Flathead Fisher. He's lucky he didn't come across Alf, man, because Alf would have just been like,
who the flaming heck put that there?
You know, he would have taken any rubbish from Shane. So, yeah, back in the day, Dieter Brummer was a massive star of Australian television, and the girls at my school, I know, used to love him to bits.
Yeah, the way it worked was in the 1980s, it was Kylie Minogue and Jason Donovan.
Yeah,
and then we got to the 1990s, it was Dita Brummer and it was Melissa George.
Yep, as Shane and Angel. That's on how it Home worked. And Away. But, I know you like Melissa George, but was there someone who was your number one crush back when you
the
were...
The apple of my eye when I was growing up. I was too young to even understand what was even happening on this show, but I used to be obsessed with Pamela Anderson on Baywatch.
Oh, CJ Parker, that's right.
He is the sexiest man I have ever met. At dinner, he was explaining to me the erogenous myth and its relationship to neglected areas of the female anatomy.
Hoping she was talking about you there.
Yeah, had the biggest crush on her. And then even when I was growing up, I used to love a lot of the actresses that were coming through Home and Away. One of them in particular, she played a character called Shauna Bradley. Her name is Kylie Watson. I wrote a letter to her when I was younger, and I got a response back, like a signed one of those media photos, and she signed it.
And your mum found it tucked under the bed?
Yeah. I don't have it to this very day. And I also used to have all these little tiny stickers that you'd get from those magazines, TV Week and all that. And I had them, ranked, the most attractive on my bedhead. There were, about 12 stickers, and I had them all lined up, okay, all right, yep. And that was the ranking system.
Well, you loved Pamela Anderson, but there was one blonde lady or girl that I had my eye on back when I was a kid, when 8-year-old Brad was quite thirsty when it came to Penny from Inspector Gadget.
Wowzers! That's where the seawater came from. But how? There must be a secret door.
I mean, I didn't care for her potty mouth.
Wowzers, what's that?
But Penny, man. She had the blonde hair, the pigtails. She was super smart. She had a dog that was super smart.
Yep.
She had a computer watch. Her uncle was a bit of a dork. But she, I wish I was a cartoon so I could, be with Penny.
Yeah, I had cartoon crushes as well. For me, it was Jessica Rabbit. And I'm just you can probably notice there's a common theme here. But I reckon you would have hit the books hard just because of her.
Yeah. Yeah, yep. I cursed my three-dimensionalness. I was always like, why can't I be a cartoon character? But that's what we're after this morning, your crushes.
Yeah.
Your TV crushes from back in the day. Maybe it was Dita Brummer, Melissa George.
Who was
Pamela
it?
Anderson or someone else. Give us a call, 1-300-92-1250. Chris from Brogo, mate, welcome. Who did you used to crush on the small screen?
I had a mad... early high school crush on Debbie Gibson. She was a singer in the 80s. That little cute kind of hat thing going on, and I was madly hooked on Northern Exposure, and I loved the character Maggie, Janine Turner. She did that terrible cliffhanger and kind of did it for me, but I still remember Northern Exposure. But the best one by far is Alison Hannigan, Willow from Buffy. Dead set, and not. Forget about the whole American Pie thing. That's completely other story for a different time slot show. Alison Hannigan, Willow. She was just awesome. I just loved that character, and I had the maddest crush on her for ever. I still do.
Is that because you thought Buffy was out of your league? Buffy's too much for me. But Willow, please.
It was more a self-protection thing. Buffy scared me. I thought, God, she can turn like vampires to dust. I'm nothing.
Yeah, you sort of feel like Alison Hannigan, if you did ask her on a date, it could be a maybe. If you tried to ask Sarah Michelle Gellar out, it'd be a restraining order.
Yeah. There was always that possible chance in the back of my mind. It was never going to happen. But, there was a slight chance.
She was approachable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic, Chris. Well, thanks for catching up with us this morning.
Thanks,
See you, mate. It was one of those things, too. There was too much competition for Buffy because you had Angel, you had Spike. Yep. There was the love triangle there. And then you had Xander on the sidelines who wanted to get with her as well. And you're like, please, Buffy's got her dance card full.
Yeah.
But Willow, hello.
Willow's available.
I know I mentioned earlier that I did crush on Penny from Inspector Gadget, but that was 8-year-old Brad.
Okay.
When what I was in my teens,
slightly
man.
Older Brad.
This was my number one crush, Terry Hatcher as Lois Lane in Lois and Clark.
Lois, are you feeling okay?
Never better. I just couldn't help noticing how very handsome you look today.
Oh, jeez. Hello.
I'm glad you said the Terry Hatcher Lois than the Margaret Kidder one.
No, Terry Hatcher all the way. Come on. You know, whenever she was on screen, I could understand why they call him the Man of Steel. Let's put it that way.
Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
Shopping. I know it's your favourite pastime, Hutsy.
Oh, I love going shopping. I love aimlessly walking around shops with no agenda whatsoever just to kill some time. Yep, it's great.
If you are forced to be, you know, taken into a department
taken
store,
prisoner,
though.
Yeah,
held hostage at a department store. What's your preferred one? What do you rank above all the others?
Well, for me, one of the ones that's most dangerous for me is probably like a JB Hi-Fi or somewhere like that, or like a Sports Rebel Sports, somewhere like that.
I got to say, anytime I get dragged to Canberra and we get taken to one of the big shopping centres there, I'm basically like, all right, going to JB Hi-Fi, and I'm done.
I'm like, this has everything that I would need to buy. The rest of it, whatever.
Make yourself comfortable, because that's it for my shopping. But some people love a bit of retail therapy, love their department stores, and Canstar Blue has come out and ranked the department stores based on customer feedback. They've given them a certain amount of stars based on things like overall satisfaction, value for money, store layout, range of products, website usability, things like that.
Okay.
And the department store that came out in number one position is this one.
Coming out on top as the only department store with a perfect score is David Jones.
Consumers who visit their stores are really, really satisfied on a number of fronts, including customer service.
I don't think I've ever been satisfied after coming out of a David Jones. I think I've felt bad that I can't afford anything in the store.
Yeah,
I think that's why their motto is, there's no other store like David Jones. I'm always like, thank God, otherwise I'd be bankrupt. Everything's so pricey in there.
I once snuck into a David Jones because, you know, you look at the sort of people that shop there a lot of the time. It's like there's a screening process before you're allowed in the store. That's
pretty
why.
Much.
It's like they're attracting a certain clientele for the store.
Exactly. The only reason I go into David Jones is to look at something in person, and then I'm straight onto my phone to find out where I can get it at like a third of the price.
Exactly, yeah.
You know what I mean? So David Jones in at first place. Close behind, though, is one I'm sure we're all familiar with.
Scoring just as highly for its customer service is Myer, but dragged down to 3 stars overall, making it the least favourite for its score on deals and specials and pricing.
Yeah, you know, they can't afford to give you the good prices because they've blown all their money having like Jennifer Hawkins and Miranda Kerr as the face. It's always disappointing you go into a Meijer. There's never any supermodels there. You know, what are they selling?
Absolutely. No, Clint's Crazy Bargains. Oh, wait, that place went years ago. That would have been up there, I'm sure of it.
Well, that's the thing. You're thinking, well, that's great, Brad, but there's no David Jones or Meijers here on the far south coast.
Doesn't help
so
us out, does
who
it?
Cares? What about our favourite department stores that we have in the local area? Well, they came out pretty well in the Canstar Blue surveys.
Kmart, Big W, Harris Scarf and Target all receiving 4 stars overall.
What? No silly willies?
Come on,
man.
They're kidding themselves.
I know.
Was this just conducted just in Sydney in like a 10K radius, was it? Okay.
Probably. Yeah, disappointing not to see Silly Willy's or at least the Reject Shop get on there. But, you know, Kmart, hugely popular.
Oh, always.
The one that they've, you know, they swapped out for the Target here in Bega. Yeah, the K-Hub. People love that one. Big W, of course, we've got in the Bay and in here in Bega. So great stuff to see those department stores getting a run in the survey. But, you know, when you delve into it, like the number one thing that people shop for are clothing and homewares. So you're immediately thinking,
okay,
it's most likely the ladies that were targeted with this survey. Not to be sexist, we know that the ladies usually like clothes.
A bit more gravitational pull towards those stores.
Yeah, that's it. So I think next time they should really get more blokes involved with these Canstar Blue surveys of department stores. They'd need a different rating system, though, for the stars.
Okay.
You know? So like 3 stars would be if the department store has free Wi-Fi to keep you entertained while your partner's off
tick
spending the
need
cash.
One of those.
4 stars would be if they have comfortable seats near the change rooms.
Oh, okay.
So you want to be comfortable while you're waiting for hours on end. And then you get 5 stars if there's a pub next door to the department store straight away.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy. Weekdays from 6.